rather than saying like the most underutilized way to grow on TikTok, you got to watch this. I just tell the most underutilized way to grow on TikTok. Just tell it right out of the gate, you know, gold first.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Sounder. And Sounder is the podcast host that I wish I had when I started my show. Because when you sign up for Sounder Plus, their premium offering, which is only $12.99 a month, you unlock so many incredible features. Let's just go through their website and see what's included with Sounder Plus. So you get unlimited podcasts, analytics plus, automatic distribution to YouTube, up to 50,000 streams a month, customizable Sounder player, support within 24 hours, 4 collaborators, custom domains, programmatic advertising, so you can start making money from your podcast. You can also leverage the power of AI and machine learning with their tools that auto transcribe your full podcast and then help you generate keywords, which you can use for the title, for SEO, and your description can help you generate subtitles. It's so powerful what you can do with just one subscription of Sounder, which again is only $12.99 a month, which is a steal, but we're going to give you an even better deal because you're a listener of My Social Life. If you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout, you can try Sounder Plus for 3 months free. You get a 3 month free trial if you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout. Thank you so much to Sounder for sponsoring today's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And this is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Coach Stone, who has over 350,000 followers combined across 2 TikTok accounts, and he is helping thousands of creators and brands start, grow, and monetize their TikTok. And I cannot be more excited to have him here on the podcast today. Stone, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jacob. Pleasure.
I'm excited to have you here, man. Where I want to start, I want to get a little background on you, just for the people listening to this. Correct any of this if I get it wrong. From my understanding, grew up in Arizona, hockey player most of your life, still in high school, if I'm not mistaken. Is all that accurate? Like, is there any big gaps I'm missing or anything about Stone that people need to know?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I grew up in Scottsdale. Playing hockey most of my life, and then got a bunch of injuries, so rotated to something. And plus, I had a lot of time during quarantine to fiddle around with a lot of content on YouTube and TikTok. Came across a lot of e-commerce, got big into that. Then took some time off of that and focus on my grades, and then had a lot of time to just surf the internet even more. And so I got really interested in compound interest, crypto, investing, building wealth. And I was so fascinated about it because it's new information to me and a bunch of people in terms of teenagers and young adults. So learned a lot about that. And I was like, man, other teenagers should learn about this. So that's when I started my first TikTok around, let's say, April of 2021. In the beginning of May, and then grew that to 50,000 followers in less than 2 months, and then was like, oh my God, the creator economy is so insane. Other people should be doing this. And so that's why I told my other, you know, friends around my school, hey, create content around anything that you do. And I kept getting the same excuses. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start another account explaining how you can create content, why you should create content, and some growth tips. That's when I started Coach Stone, grew that account to over 100,000 followers in less than 2 months. And yeah, now we're here with Coach Stone having about 200,000 followers and Stone Frederickson having about 150.
That's awesome, man. And I kind of want to jump back briefly. So with growing up playing hockey, and then your first kind of response when you're not playing hockey anymore is to become a creator. And so for context for you, I worked in hockey for a little while. I managed some social media for a hockey team here in Ottawa. And the world of content creation and hockey aren't ones that I would necessarily go hand in hand. So I'm curious, like, why has that always been? Actually, I think I know that's something, because you used to stream video games for fun, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Like, so There's always been like a little part of you that wants to be a creator, but like it wasn't until you were kind of had to make that next step after hockey that led to you to really diving headfirst into it, right? Like it wasn't something you were really doing before.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I was like fiddling around playing video games, streaming that, creating some YouTube content, but yeah, I'd always get chirped up in the locker room. So I quit that. And then, Yeah, I mean, I was done with hockey and really got big into, like I said, you know, compound interest. I think Graham Stephan, me, Kevin, and Andre Jack were big inspirations for me. And I've always been watching Gary Vee, and Gary Vee's been saying, you know, hammer TikTok, hammer content and YouTube. I started on YouTube in terms of the making money and compound interest and investing first, and then saw no growth. One of my buddies that was big on TikTok said, dude, you have amazing value, but you're on the wrong platform. You got to get on TikTok. And so that's when I got on TikTok and saw massive growth right away. And I was like, wow, there's something here.
And the guy who told you to make that switch, that was your brother's friend, right? He had like 500K on TikTok?
Yep.
And so from like, I heard you say in a different interview, it might've been in the Mike Rama one, might've been a different one, but you said that like, he kind of taught you about the algorithm and you kind of learned as much as you could. So like, what are some of those early things he taught you or that you kind of picked up on your own that were beneficial and helped you grow in the beginning?
Yeah. So I watched many YouTube courses prior to this. And you know, he was basically saying everything that is kind of similar in terms of YouTube. It's, you know, watch time, click through rate, but with TikTok, there's no click-through rate. It's really just watch time completion, metrics, all this, you know, all these sort of things. But the thing that he really said that really stuck out to me was really no one gives a shit who you are when you post a video on TikTok. They just want value and they just want watch time. And so every video has to be a brand new story that captures as many eyes and ears as possible. Because I asked him, I was like, okay, in the beginning, should I, you know, start out with an intro? He's like, no, there's no need to. Start out with a value-based content. And that's what I did. And I made a couple drafts. I think I made like 10 drafts, posted 3 times a day. And, after those 3 days, I was like, wow, there's something really here. And so that's when I continued to create content. And it was during, you know, COVID, and I had online school. So, you know, when I was done with school, I was just right there in my house, and I would just create content. So it was pretty easy for me.
And were you telling people you were creating at that point? Like, obviously a few select people would know, but like you said, in the locker room, you're going to be getting chirps. Like, are the boys, like, do they find out? Like, how long until people realize you're creating?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't tell anyone that I was creating on YouTube prior to this. And that was one of the reasons why, because I didn't want to get chirped. And I don't know. It was just something that not every 17-year-old, I was 17 at the time, not every 17-year-old was doing, was creating content around investing, building wealth, making money, improving your life. And same thing with TikTok. I mean, but a lot of my friends followed me on TikTok from the beginning, which a couple of them, you know, said, oh my God, you know, cool videos, they're doing really well. And I wouldn't say it was, I mean, a couple months, everyone really knew that I was creating content. And, you know, during COVID, I wasn't really hanging out with too many people because, you know, you had to stay inside. So, but once I, you know, saw everyone, you know, at a party or a hangout, you know, they would mention it.
And how did you get comfortable on camera? Like, were you just naturally comfortable? Cause I feel like that trips up a lot of people when they want to start creating.
Yeah, no, I was not comfortable at all. I mean, I was, actually a person to not put myself out there because I would just get so much, I had so many insecurities. I was too afraid of, you know, getting chirped and bullied by like I did when I was really young. And I was just like, you know, this information and this thing that I'm really passionate about, investing, building your wealth, and just mastering money and getting out of the way, was way more important than my insecurities. And so that's when I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to create content for the next 6 months, every single day, regardless of what people think of me, regardless of the amount of views and followers I get, I'm just going to create and commit.
And at what point did you realize, and I'm asking this question because I've seen you post a TikTok about this, that people don't actually care about you and what you're doing as much as you think they do?
Yeah, it actually started on YouTube when I started, because I was starting, you know, I posted, I think 11, 12 YouTube videos, all of which, you know, didn't get any views at all, maybe 5 or 10. But no one from school, none of my friends knew that I was creating that content. And so that's when I knew that no one actually cares. But again, I wasn't promoting it towards them. So that was one thing. And then I posted on TikTok, posted, you know, my first batch of videos, 10, 20 videos. And, you know, a handful of people that were really close to me would reach out and say something. But I mean, everyone else wouldn't even say much.
And the strategy in the beginning, was it just volume, or was there more of a strategy? Like, was it just kind of throwing everything out there, seeing what sticks and doubling down, or what was the strategy in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, that was literally it. I mean, just it was really like document what I learn, what I know, what I come across. Maybe I watch a video and, you know, kind of elaborate and articulate that value into my own video in a different way, the way I understood it, and kind of make it more simple for my audience and for, you know, other teenagers and young adults.
And talk to me about that kind of teaching other young people, like young adults, when you're not necessarily an expert yourself, right? It's like, where is the comfort level there? Like, what do you talk about? What do you not talk about when you're trying, like you're learning as you're teaching, which is a great way to help you learn and understand stuff. Like, what's the comfort level there for you to teach people something as you're learning?
Yeah. I mean, great question, because like in the beginning, I knew that. I was like, you know, not too many people are going to listen to a 17-year-old telling them how to invest or crypto. And so that's why I phrased it a little bit differently. Rather than saying, you know, you need to do this, you should do this, I phrased it into, I believe you should do this, I recommend this, you know, here are a couple things that I've learned. And, you know, once I started to get more comfortable with that information, or once I've really started to hone in on that information, it's more for something like Coach Stone, that I've just dedicated basically this whole creator career in and just done so much research to where I can kind of throw it, you should, just on like the basic things like staying consistent or, creating content, like, but if it's, you know, a particular strategy or an insight that I come across, I still use the phrase of I believe, or, you know, I recommend this. Yeah.
And so at what point, how many followers, actually, before we get into the two accounts and when you made the second one, what was your first video to pop off?
It was actually like, I mean, a couple hundred thousand views pop off. It was my second video. And so it was, here's some simple shit I believe every teenager needs to hear and do right now that'll change your life. Trust me. And it was like, number one, get off your ass, get off the video games and go, you know, start making money. You have time and utilize it rather than waste it. Number two, start becoming financially free and understand the basics of saving, investing, and building your wealth. Number three, or I can't remember the order of it, but like the last time, the last one was like, number five, don't worry about other people and their opinions, because once you're 90 years old, on your deathbed, you're not going to be looking back on what Jimmy said. And, you know, and so that got a lot of traction because there was a lot of kids that were saying, bro, stop wasting your youth, you know, go live life. But those were the comments at the top. And so when Gary Vee says that negativity is louder than positivity, I can 100% relate to that, because those comments are at the top. But if you scroll down all the way down to the bottom, you get a ton of, thank you so much, I needed this, thank you so much, facts, facts, facts. And that's why I always recommend to be polarizing in terms of content, and not just go after things to be that opposer and have that opposing view, but to just put out whatever you think, whatever you believe in, and you know, let the chips fall how they may, because it's like, you're going to have people that always, everyone's going to have an opinion. And you're going to have people that are negative, and you're going to have people that are positive. And you actually want both. You want those people that are negative to comment on your videos, because if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't get in front of the, you know, that video wouldn't get in front of the people that actually need it.
And so even though those comments, they do help algorithmically, they help push it to more people, those negative comments still, like, they still stick with you, right? Like, I had a negative comment this morning that I was like, oh, screw this, whatever, I don't care about this comment. But it's like, it's the comment that I've been thinking about the most all day out of all the comments I've gotten. It's like, how do you handle when you get negative comments like that?
Yeah, so for a video like that, I would actually look into it and be like, number one, this is awesome. This is the person I want to get in front of and try to help, because I took a bunch of those comments and did a video reply and said, look, this is not wasting my youth. This is utilizing the youth and the time that I have to build my wealth and to master money and to not worry about it. So that way I can do whatever I want. Yet, you know, majority of you saying this are going to be going to college, be in debt, work a 9-to-5 for 40 years, retire at 65, and then, you know, probably say, shit, I should have listened to that kid at 18 years old. No, I'm just kidding. But I took that as a, yes, this is working, I want to get in front of these people. But also, like, I would just deal it with compassion and like, okay, if this person has the time to not only watch my content, but to go to the comment sections and put negativity into that comment, then there's probably something really wrong with them internally. And again, goes back to my first point of like, that is something, that is someone that I really want to impact and help.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. You said you're a Gary Vee fan, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, 100%. I've watched a ton of Gary too. And like, that's just something that was one of the big lessons I learned from Gary, is just the fact that like the people who leave those comments, like there's not Like happy people don't go and talk shit and like leave shitty comments.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's totally right.
And so how many followers did you have on the Stone Fredrickson account, which is about kind of investing and making the most of your youth? How many followers did that have when you made the second account?
I would say around 50,000, 60,000. And I was still working at like my minimum wage job at this time. And it was at like this nutritional shop, and a lot of my coworkers were big gym heads, you know, and they just loved working out. And I was like, dude, just create content around you working out. Place your video on a bench, post it on TikTok, because the amount of reach and attention that you can gain and utilize and make a positive impact on is just ridiculous. But again, I got the same excuses of like, oh, I just don't know how to structure videos, or I don't know how to put it out, or I don't know what to put out, or why to even do it, or I don't know if I want to become a TikToker, you know? And so that's when I was like, you know what, I'm going to start this other account and not only prove them wrong, but to like help them in terms of this, because I know a lot about it.
And so did that like second account, did it grow quicker than the first one? Cause you just learned from the mistakes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one reason, because I learned from the mistakes and I grew it way more effectively in terms of like the strength of the followers as well. I mean, my Stone Fredrickson, I went viral multiple times, but I didn't understand the ramifications of going viral around something that you don't want to create in long term. And so that's not really what I did with Stone. With Coach Stone, I mean, I went viral multiple times, but it was around content that I wanted to create and wanted to put out on a consistent basis. So it was a lot better. But also, I think it grew, you know, way better because it's a larger demographic. For Stone Fredrickson, it's, you know, teenagers, young adults, and not many teenagers and young adults want to learn about this. And so it was a lot of convincing, but a lot of people want to get involved in the TikTok, the creator economy, and are interested in. I mean, I meet with people that are 50, 60 years old, but also 40, 30, you know, 20. But I don't meet with anyone in terms of like TikTok consulting, anyone like under like 25. It's amazing. Because I think a lot of people under 25 are not interested in creating content or understand the power of it and are doing other things, you know, maybe just getting out of college or in college and getting a job, finding a job. Not really worrying about content and marketing. And so a lot of these older people are maybe creating businesses or already creating content and they want to, you know, utilize a platform like TikTok.
Interesting. Cause like, I feel like all you hear is that young people now, like the number one dream job for young people, young adults is to be like a YouTuber or a content creator. So do you think that like the gap there is like, cause like, and correct any of this if it's wrong, but like with the Coach Stone account, it's kind of coming at it from like a marketing, how to market yourself, build your brand on TikTok. And do people who want to be YouTubers and quote unquote influencers, they don't look at it like that. They look at it as something different. And that's kind of where that disconnect is.
Well, I mean, with Coach Stone, I'm always trying to inspire people to become creators and take advantage of the creator economy. But I think, like you said, a lot of people want to become YouTubers and influencers, but they want to become YouTubers and influencers with the community itself, like already. I don't think they want to go through the trials and tribulations and the chirps and the bullying of becoming a creator. And so that's why a lot of people don't end up starting, is because of that insecurity of what other people are going to be thinking and what they're going to say once, you know, other people watch their videos and their close friends. And so, you know, all these young people are in middle school, high school, and so they're constantly around their friends. So creating content on social media allows their friends to see it and comment on it. And I don't think that they want to hear that or want that negative opinion.
So how do we, like you said, you try to inspire them with your content, obviously, like how, like what's the way of doing that? How do we kind of break them out of that cycle of worrying about their friends? Like what's the method there?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like if you're in high school, the one thing that really made me start was, I mean, I was in my junior year, so I was like, you know, and it was during COVID, you know, so it was pretty hard. But I was like, you know, I'm probably not going to talk to 99% of these people after high school in 2 years. So why let them dictate what I can and can't do or should or shouldn't do, or what's normal and what's not normal, or what's good and what's not? Because their judgment is different from everyone else's and my own. And so Why let them dictate what I should do or my career or like my like destiny in 30 years, you know? So, and especially with an opportunity like TikTok right now, I got to take advantage of it, because if I wait 2 years to where I don't see them anymore, you know, there might be another platform or TikTok might be oversaturated. So I was just like, I got to create now and not care about what other people think. But also it also started with my parents too, and my brothers and my sisters, not caring what they said, what they thought. And in the beginning, they didn't really believe what I was doing. They were like, Stone, what are you doing? You know, you're 17 years old. What are you talking about? You know, doing all this stuff. And I just didn't care. You know, I had a vision, and I'm not really a big mindset coach, but like, I kind of think of it like you're living your own life. You're living in this own bubble. And so why let other people kind of affect that bubble and that, destiny? It just logically, it doesn't make sense. You know, I think also once you start to do it and those people comment, and like I said earlier, if they comment negatively, like you shouldn't probably be hanging around with them anyways. You know, if they're saying, wow, dude, like that YouTube video was actually, you know, pretty dope, like continue to do that, or, you know, whatever. If they're positive, then hang out with those people more. But if they're negative, it's like you shouldn't even be hanging around with those people. So I think also like creating content will bring out the true, your true friends and who's not your true friends.
Absolutely. And you're like, you're just proof of the good that can happen if you don't listen to those people and you just stick to your convictions and go for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Thank you for that. Yeah.
No, no worries, man. And so now today combined over 350,000 followers. If I was to ask you like, if I'm starting my TikTok today, and I feel like there's a lot of unnecessary pressure now that people are putting on to their first video, because people understand that the first video might get extra reach because TikTok wants to get you hooked on like, and so like people are putting all this extra pressure on this first video now. But so if I'm starting an account from scratch, what's the top three things I should be focusing on? Is it volume? Is it identifying my niche? Like what should I focus on if I'm creating my account today?
Well, I would say first, making sure that you're creating content in something that you're really obsessed about and passionate about. Like meaning you wake up every single day and want to do that thing more, learn about that thing more, and, you know, talk about it. That would be the first thing. The second thing is, I strongly believe creating content principles. So like, what is like the objective? What's like the intention that you want to do in terms of the content? Because I'm seeing it more and more every single day that people are just wanting to create content for the money and to create content to sell this course and sell this ebook. But in reality, you got to go into content to provide value for someone else. I got into it subconsciously because investing, building wealth, crypto was so fascinating to me that I thought other people need to know about it and take advantage of it. And same thing with Coach Stone and the creator economy. And so, and that should just be your kind of mindset, especially if it's something that you're really obsessed about. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, like creating content principles, like really what you're trying to accomplish. Like for an example, for my Coach Stone, my content principles are to inspire people to become creators, show how to grow and make money, and to provide valuable TikTok tips. And then for my Stone Fredrickson, it's to encourage teenagers to build their wealth, inspire them to pursue their passion, and then show how to improve their life. And then also a little keynote, you can take those keywords of those principles and put them in your bio along with some emojis to clearly convey with your audience what you're doing on this platform. Rather than saying, you know, CEO or 18-year-old, you know, entrepreneur, like no one gives a shit about you. They want to know what they're going to gain if they were to follow you. And then third, I would really just think about the next 6 months and just posting every single day and commit. Not caring about the quality of the content, not caring about the views, the vanity metrics, or any of that. But really just think about putting out content that you like to put out and that one put out, and just have fun with it and be your authentic self. I mean, that's like another thing, is people are just trying to be someone else. And a lot of people are inspired to become creators because of another creator. And so right out of the gate, they try to become that creator. And so this is where self-awareness comes huge, of like knowing that you are not that creator and you're not that much of an expert or you know too much of that field. So You know, as much as I wanted to become Graham Stephan, I knew that I just couldn't, because I didn't, I just didn't have the experience that he did. I didn't have the knowledge, but I could utilize information that he gave me and other people that have given me information, and kind of just put it in my own video and in my own words. I mean, that's what I would really focus on. And I mean, there's tons of things, you know, having a video objective with every video and, you know, conveying that in the most simplistic, easiest and shortest way possible, because, you know, people on TikTok have a very short attention span. But that's really what I would really start out with, and just having fun with it, and just focusing on the long term.
And that last point too, there about kind of not trying to be like the people that you watch. So many people, their tastes aren't where their abilities are. And that's what trips them up. Like, they think they can create, like they have a vision in their head of what they want their content to look like, but they haven't put the time in to be good enough to make it look like that and to create like that. So because their tastes are so much further ahead than where their abilities are, that's demotivating. That makes a lot of people give up in the beginning as well.
100%. And that's why I always tell people, like, in terms of how many videos you should be posting a day, just post an amount that will still give you the ability to post the next day, because I want you to stay consistent. But, you know, if that's one video, that's fine. If it's 2, 3, 4, 5, that's even better, because it's going to give you more opportunity to blow up, establish your audience, establish your creative style, and get more comfortable in front of the camera. I mean, it's just like with anything, repetition. But again, I always say this too. It's like, people are like, oh, practice makes perfect, so it's just repetition. But no, it's like, put some thought in this repetition. Like, I don't think practice makes perfect. I believe perfect practice makes perfect. You know, it's the same thing with sports too. It's like, you know, you're going to do footwork and drills. You ain't just going to half-ass it. No, you're going to do it hard and to become perfect in that sport. But again, that's another thing. Like, in terms of perfection and like judging your content on perfection, like, perfection is just another insecurity, another word for insecurity. So there is no perfection. Like, just put out content, post, and don't worry about other people's, you know, opinions and judgments, because again, do you.
Have you read the book So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport?
I've not, but I've heard of that, and I want
to
read that.
Just to your point on practice there, part of that book is all about deliberate practice and like being intentional with how you're practicing. And like, you hit on it there, like one of the points that, I don't know if it was in the book or an interview I listened to that he gave after the book came out, but it was that people confuse repetition and practice. Like you said, like, repetition is just doing something you're already comfortable at over and over and over again, versus deliberate practice is figuring out where the edge of your abilities are and trying to stretch past that intentionally. And that's where you get better, not just doing the same thing over and over again, which is why I like that you said there that practice doesn't make perfect. Practice doesn't always necessarily get you better, especially if it's half-assed practice. But I'm curious, along the way here, what are some of the mistakes you made that people could learn from not to do, or maybe something that you did do that negatively handicapped your account? Like, I know you said that you had some videos go viral that weren't in your niche. So that kind of, like, what are some of those big mistakes that you can warn people of now?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So with Stone Fredrickson, probably the biggest mistake I made was chasing the virality and trying to go viral. And, you know, I did that multiple times, and those followers that I gained from those videos just didn't really care what I was saying. They just liked that particular video. And that video I didn't want to, you know, create in the future. I mean, I think one of them was like top 3 podcasts that'll change your life. And it was just like Joe Rogan podcast. And then another one was like, just like a little 7-second trend that I spelt a word wrong. But I did it on purpose and got so much traction. But again, those people weren't really caring about what I was saying. And I've done multiple of those, like the top 3 funniest podcasts, because I just love, and I was just putting out content that I loved and like I thought was good, because I loved, and I still do listen to podcasts. But again, it wasn't relevant to my whole like objective and mission of my account. And so I got this huge false hope of like, oh, I got 50,000 followers. Why are my videos getting 800 views? And, but that's like another thing. It's like with TikTok, the algorithm changes, everything changes. Like, you can't be discouraged over the amount of views, because when you judge your videos based on the amount of views you get, you're judging TikTok's ability to place that content in front of the right audience. It's not always good about that. It's not always, you know, good at doing that. So That's like another thing is judging my videos based on the amount of views or traction it gained. But in reality, getting that one piece of like one comment or those couple people commenting saying thank you so much, that kind of made a huge impact on me and saying, okay, this video was worth it. And shifting my mindset of like, it only takes one view to make my content fulfilling and successful.
One thing you said with like TikTok placing your video, that can be part of the reason why it doesn't get the views you think it should.
Yep.
How often are you reposting your content?
Not very often. I used to do it a lot, but this solidified that idea, because I had that idea when I was starting Stone Fredrickson. And I was like, maybe these videos are just not getting placed in front of the right people. But I didn't know that for sure until I started Coach Stone and I posted 50, 60 videos that not one of them got over 1,000 views. And then I posted one more after that that went viral and got tons of views. And I reposted some of those 50, 60 videos. And then those got, you know, those went viral and got thousands of views. And so I was like, interesting, you know, I was just not in my target audience, and they're really, really valuable pieces of content, obviously. If you're in that state, if you think, you know, TikTok is just not placing your content in front of the right audience, or you're not in front of your right audience, I really recommend you just try new things, try different forms of content, try different sceneries, different structures, different tonalities in your voice, different camera angles, different music in the background, just like everything to see what resonates with that small initial group of people. So that way you can get broadened out to that broader group. But in terms of like reposting, like I really don't repost anymore. The only time I would repost is if I had a previous post that did really well. Let's say 2 months ago, I had a post that does, you know, 2 million views. And then I have a post, you know, yesterday that got, you know, 100,000 views and it's still ramping up. I would go ahead and repost that because I have a new engaged audience. Rather than, you know, say my views are declining and saying, oh my God, I need a little spike. Let me, you know, do this 2 million view video that I posted 2 months ago. That video won't perform as well as if you had that new engaged audience. So that's like the only kind of time I repost. I'll often go back to my videos that performed really well back then and kind of shift them and remake them into what works now.
Interesting. So what's the posting schedule look like for you? Obviously every day, but is it twice a day, three times a day? What's that look like?
It's usually just once a day for both accounts and for all my other social media platforms. But sometimes like I'll post twice a day. Maybe it's like a video reply to comment or a little duet or a little stitch. You know, I'm trying to kind of ramp it up to two. I know I can. I haven't gotten around to it, to be honest. And then usually it's just batch creating content. So I'll take one day out of the week and just batch create all my content. You know, spend one day to research, plan, script, film, edit, and save as drafts. So that way throughout the week I can do other things. But sometimes I don't do that. And so every single day I have to create a new video, which is not that bad. I mean, now that I've created content, I mean, I can create a video in 5-10 minutes. But back then, it would take me a whole day to create 7 videos for the week. So I would use Sunday. And plus, I had the minimum wage job after school every day. So I had a pretty, you know, busy schedule that whole week.
Let's kind of break down that process there of when from ideation to posting and kind of really getting in the weeds here. How do you come up with ideas? Like when you're researching, like, is it like, do you have a note in your phone where you just write down ideas throughout the week? And when it comes to batch record, you can kind of tap this list. Like, how do you come up with ideas for your videos?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways I do this. So one, I have a Notion little checklist where I, you know, if I come across an idea, I go in there and put it in. But majority of the time I've kind of structured my content around my life to where I'm always getting content ideas. So for my Stone Fredrickson account, I'm always getting content ideas from high school, from other kids asking me questions or how they interact in class or, you know, what subjects we're getting taught in class or what their mindset is on going to college or, you know, et cetera. So I'll tie that into my content and be like, you know, this is why I think college is useless, or this is why the educational system is a fraud because we didn't learn about compound interest in math, whatever it is. And then for my Coach Stone account, I'm always getting constant content ideas, not only from my content, my previous content, my audience, but also from my calls, you know, my clients, helping them out, common questions that they, you know, text, email, and say to me. And so I'll take that and be like, you know what, this is a really common question that I get all the time. I'll go ahead and write it down and then make a video about it. You know, and if worst comes to worst, I don't have any ideas out of all of that, I'll go to like Quora.com and type in my niche, and a bunch of trending questions will come up. Or I'll go to Title Dash Generator. Tons of titles will come up. I mean, over like 700. Or I'll just go to Google, type in, you know, a topic, go to news, filter it from the last 2 weeks, and then boom, you got a trending topic right there. That's what I did for my Stone Fredrickson account one time when Elon Musk kind of dished on Senator, what's her face? Senator Karen. I can't remember her name, but you know, about taxes and everything. And I posted that video and it got like 1.5 million views. And so that's like kind of a way that you can create content is around like trending news. But again, I wouldn't recommend doing that on a consistent basis.
And so when you have an idea, then whether it be from a call, from someone in class, from something that's trending, are you scripting that out? Or like, are you just kind of, have you done it so many times now? Like I was talking to JT recently and he's done so many now, it's just ingrained, like the flow and delivery, like there's no scripting involved. Are you there? Or are you scripting your?
Yeah, I've been there for a couple months now to where it's just ingrained, you know, and I repeat myself so many times in my meetings too, to where with a lot of these, you know, subjects when it comes to like hashtags, I can't even tell you how many times I've made a video about hashtags, but my opinion and like my viewpoint has been so ingrained in my head to where I can just go on there and flow. But you know, back then I would script it out because, I knew that every single second was super valuable in terms of TikTok. So I didn't want to waste a single second, that could be replaced with new value that was relevant to that video objective. So I would make sure that every single word was, relevant to that video objective. But you know, sometimes like, I'll have this like take or opinion or whatever, and it can't flow. And so that's why I really like creating on TikTok, directly on the TikTok app, because you can splice it up into to clips. And so, you know, going on to that next clip, I might sit there for 5-10 minutes thinking about what I'm saying, or just say it out loud multiple times to kind of make it flow. And then yeah, record it. And that's why I like recording in clips. So that way it's clipped up, it's clean. And you know, I'm not wasting any time that can be utilized for, you know, articulating that value in a better way.
And so with recording, like, I'm curious to get your take. Should you be recording in the app? Like I do all of my stuff. I have the DSLR camera. I got the lights going. I do all things. Like, should I be switching it up? Is it going to be more authentic if I'm going off the phone? Like, where do you land on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, creating on a smartphone is 10 times better, depending on the type of content you're putting out. Obviously, you know, if you're a videographer or photographer, you know, a little bit different there. But yeah, for majority of people, from the iPhone or from the smartphone, because it not only fits the TikTok landscape and the mobile device, but I feel like TikTok is like saying, okay, this is directly from the app. It's more authentic. It's more relatable. It's not over edited. And it's super simple in terms of maybe you add some captions and people realize that that is a, you know, a TikTok caption rather than some fake Adobe Premiere caption. And so that comes off a lot more authentic, and people, I feel like people have more of a connection with you because it's from that smartphone. But again, like filming directly in the TikTok app is, you know, hit or miss too, because it's like, when I batch create content, I'll batch create all of my content on my camera roll, go in there, go to Instagram, do the auto-generated captions, save that, then go into TikTok, and then add those clips. So, I mean, creating on the TikTok camera or the mobile device, I don't see that there's much of a difference there. But definitely creating on the smartphone performs well.
Fair. I think that's like the next step for me with my content. Like I've got it. I got a flow down. It's just easy for me. But I think like I think creating on the phone is the next step. Like, it should, you think it'd be the reverse, like creating on the DSLR is the next step. Like, it's just like, I got the mic, so it sounds really clean and all the things. But I think for me, it's like breaking that barrier and just trying to create on my phone and seeing what happens. And if it takes off, it does better. So I think that's my next step.
Yeah, I see a lot of people, like a lot of YouTubers too, have that problem. They're like, you know, oh, I'm so focused on the quality and making sure it's perfect and good, because they have all these, you know, cameras and all this equipment. And that's why I like TikTok too. It's because it's like, it's way easier. It's way more authentic. Coming from YouTube, I was just like, oh, this is 10 times better. You know, I didn't have to script out a YouTube video for 45 minutes to an hour, and then film it for 45 minutes to an hour, and then have to edit it for, you know, 6 to 8 hours. I could just literally pump out a video in 30 minutes. And all I have to do is do that a day. And yeah, so that's what I really recommend. And think of like a couple things is like thinking of documenting versus creating, like Gary Vee says, but more importantly, thinking of talking to one person in terms of one conversation. So I see a lot of people say, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and want to grow your business, then do this. Well, if you're having a one-on-one conversation and you're talking to someone that is an entrepreneur and that wants to grow their business, you're not going to say that. You're going to just tell them how to grow the business. So just tell them. So just tell them and say the word you a lot in your videos, because people like that personal connection. And so those are some tips for creating on a smartphone.
100%. No one's gathering a group of people around to watch a TikTok together. Everyone's watching it by themselves.
Exactly.
So no, that's fair. And so now I'm curious, because obviously like highly important is those first 1 to 3 seconds. That hook is vital to getting anybody to make it to the rest of the video. So how do you approach your hooks? Like, what makes a good hook? What makes it sticky? What makes a bad hook? Like, talk to me about hooks for a minute.
Yeah. So I, you know, this is another mistake that I'm seeing a lot of people do is like, oh my God, the hook is super important. These first 1 to 3 seconds. But I would also argue that the next 3 to 5 seconds after that are just as important, because people tend to, you know, hook them in and then flop and you know, don't deliver on what they promised that they would deliver. So that's really important. But in terms of the hook, I, you know, back to what I was saying earlier in terms of like talking to a person in one conversation, do that. I mean, you know, like you wouldn't have a hook when you're talking to someone individually. You're just going to tell them the advice. So just tell them the advice right off the get-go. Like I'm starting to see with my content too, rather than saying like the most underutilized way to grow on TikTok, you got to watch this. I just tell the most underutilized way to grow on TikTok. Just tell it right out of the gate, you know, gold first. But you know, if you're doing like maybe a top three or you want a hook for a longer video, I would really think about giving that viewer obviously an incentive to watch the rest of the video, but really clearly conveying with them what's in it if they were to watch the video, and doing it in either a simple fashion of like, which this is simple information and this is something super simple for them to do and watch, and or in a unique fashion in the fact that this is information that they're only going to gain from this video. And so when you have, you know, that's why I think that one hook on my Stone Fredrickson performed really well of like, here's some simple shit I believe every teenager needs to hear and do right now that'll change your life. Trust me. And so once I said simple shit, people, they were like, okay, let's hear this guy out, you know? And so right after that hook, I followed it up with a very polarizing, you know, statement, get off your ass, get off the video games, go do, you know? And so then they're curious and they want more. And so that's another thing is like after every clip, it has to be, you know, very engaging, and that viewer retention has to be high. And so that's why it's like analyzing every single second of your video and making sure that it's new value, not repeating yourself, not saying any filler words and phrases. Like like, that's another thing with the hook. A lot of people will say, so, all right, hey guys, I'm on this platform to talk, like cut all that shit out, you know, to get to it. And I'm starting to realize it too, with like the, here are three ways to grow on TikTok. You can even cut out here are. You can just say three ways to grow on TikTok. So yeah, those are a couple of things.
I like that. I even like the fact like cutting out the filler words, but you're just cutting out the hook in general. You're just getting right into it. You know what I mean? Like you're not, you know, you're cutting it, making it even shorter, getting right to the value. I like that a lot. But once you have them then, How do you increase retention? Like, what does that look like? Because that's the other big thing, like you said at the beginning of the pod, like retention's huge, video completion is huge, like the percentage that people are watching. So how do you get somebody through an entire TikTok? Is it by making your TikTok shorter so there's less of it to watch? Like, what are some of the things you do to make sure people stick through the whole video?
Yeah, so let's cover like video length, because this is a big thing too. A lot of people think saying, oh my God, I got to create my content in 15 seconds or less, or 30 seconds or less, you know, whatever. But I would really recommend to not put a video duration limit on your videos, because then you're limiting your ability to convey and articulate that video objective in the best way possible. But rather, do it in the shortest amount of time possible. If that takes 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, 3 minutes, that's fine. As long as you're not wasting a single second that could be replaced with new value, like I said earlier. That's what's super, super important. You know, complete that, have that video objective, whatever it is. I want to, you know, show this little app or this device or these three resources that I use. Okay, do it in the most, in the shortest amount of time possible. Like, if you're doing a top three, a top five, there's a, and back to what I was saying earlier, try different things. There's a couple ways you can go about that video. One, you could do the top five and list them all, like number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Or you can list them all. Number one, elaborate. Number two, elaborate. Number three, elaborate. Number four, elaborate. Number five, elaborate. But to that first option, now that you just listed all those five, now you have five more videos, because you can elaborate on every single one of those in separate videos. You know, like if I were to do three ways to grow on TikTok, number one, being authentic. Number two, posting this way. Number three, posting this way. Then all those other points are their separate video. Of which I can elaborate on a little bit more, go into more detail, and clearly, you know, articulate that video objective effectively. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really just evaluating every single second of your video and making sure that it's replaced and with new value, something that makes the viewer say, "That was good. What's next? Like, what's more? Like, I need more." And that's why I think I created this 3-minute video a long time ago. It performed really well because of that. Fact, you know, it was like I started out with the truth about TikTok, the algorithm going viral, and everything you need to know. And so that hook is like, okay, let's look. And then after that, I showed some credibility. I know this because I've grown 2 TikTok accounts to over 100,000 followers. And then after that, I was like, the truth is, no one gives a fuck who you are or when you post a video. They just want watch time and value. Here are the watch time metrics, and then how to increase these metrics. And then here are a couple things that I recommend you do to increase it. Like, it's all just like, okay, that was really good. That's something maybe new that I didn't learn. Again, back to that unique factor of like, this is unique information. I want more. And then just going about it. Yeah. And just working on that articulation. And that's just going to come over time.
100%. I think a theme or something you've said a couple times here that I really want to highlight to make sure people are aware of is not repeating value. It's like that kills your video so fast when the value you give in the first 5 seconds, you're repeating at the 28 second, like people are gone. Like as soon as you start to say what you're saying again, and that's something like I've started catching myself on, is like, because that was just something I picked up from the podcast of doing it for like almost 4 years now, is I've trained myself to repeat that value to kind of really hammer it home. So now it's like unlearning that in a TikTok, because it has to be just straight to the point. I don't have to hammer it 2, 3, 4 times so people get it. Like I just need to get in and get out as fast as I can with a TikTok. And so that's been a new like way of approaching content that I've had to kind of learn over the last few months since I've been diving into TikTok.
100%. I mean, I see it all the time of like people repeating themselves or not even knowing that they're repeating themselves because they're phrasing it in a different way. But you have to like assume that that person already got it in the first fashion of how said it. And if they didn't, then they'll just watch it again, of which will give you more watch time.
That's just it. The video replays itself. So you don't have to summarize. You don't need to intro. You don't need to summarize. Like TikTok will take care of that for you. But let's talk about building community for a sec. Because with TikTok, yes, you have a following. Yes, your videos will be serviced to that audience, but it will also be serviced to new people every single time you post a video for the most part. So how do you go about building a community of sizable percentage of your videos are going to people who don't actually follow you. Like, how do you kind of balance those two things of knowing you're going to be in front of new eyes, so you need to make a good first impression, but also knowing there's going to be people coming back, so you need to be able to provide new value and deepen that relationship with the people who already follow you?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, especially when starting out, is having that effective call to action of like getting people to follow you. Because those people that are watching your video all the way throughout are people that like that video and like your content. So you got to kind of remind them to follow you, but not just say follow for more. You know, put your own spice on it, put your own kind of slang authenticity on it to kind of leave them with something and give them more of a reason to follow you or comment, you know, of which if they do comment, reply to it. You know, like a lot of people are like, oh my God, how do I grow? How do I get 100,000 more followers? Yet you won't give any love to the, you know, 100 people that are giving you love right now. You know, like you got to give them love and comment back, do video replies. You know, that's huge. If you can go live, interact with them that way. But also like having them at the top, like top priority, you know? And so what I mean by that is like not shoving anything down their throat, not trying to monetize too early, not trying to, get a couple dollars or do a brand deal too early and ruin that reputation. That's super big. And, you know, like you said, your TikToks are getting placed out to new people, but they're also getting placed out to your followers. So always, you know, giving new value, you know, and this is a big thing. I always get asked all the time. It's like, but there's only so much value you can provide before you start repeating yourself. It's like, it's fine. Like if you just have a month's worth of value and then you start, you know, repeating yourself from that beginning of the month, that's perfectly fine. I mean, people's attention spans are so short to where they won't even remember that you've made that video. There are tons of videos that I've made multiple times, yet they always perform well because there's like no one saying you've made this video before. And if they did, it's like, oh, well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, being such a loyal follower. But yeah, those are really big things. And just having them as your top priority.
So how have you found ways to monetize your audience? Sounds like it's like a terrible way of putting it, but like, how do you found a way to monetize from your TikTok and like doing it in such a way that's not like in your face to your followers?
You know, Gary Vee always says give, ask, right? But I think you should do give, get. Yeah, give so much value to where people are going to want more or feel obligated to want more, you know, and give to you. And that's really what I've done. I mean, like sometimes I'll ask and, you know, when I do, it you know, it performs well. But even when I don't, it performs well. I think optimizing your link in bio is super important too, that not a lot of people, you know, do. And optimizing your funnel. A lot of people will just have this landing page that you have to click on, and then you have to click more, and then you have to put in your email and your phone number and click that, and then click for confirm. So many clicks. Just, you know, simplify this. Yeah. And, the platform, you know, not to plug or anything, but the platform that I love to use is Stan with me. StanWithme. I mean, just from all of my experience with Beacons, Linktree, ClickFunnels, you know, all of these, Kajabi, Stan has just been by far the easiest to convert on because of the one-step checkout funnels. Like the only click that they're going to make is that click on the link in bio and then click buy now or purchase or get, you know, and that's it. That's it. It's super easy for them. It's not as salesy. Like a lot of ClickFunnel pages are very salesy, big red letters, you know, 10x your business now. It's very just, it's simple. It's like, here's what you're going to get. Here's why you should get it. Here's who, you know, whoever needs it, and then get it. And so that's another thing. But in terms of like, you know, if you're not seeing those conversions or maybe that attention to that lead, that link site, have a call to action at the end of your videos. Like a lot of people are scared of doing that, but provide value first. Don't just come out right out of the gate and say, this is in my bio. Or are you struggling with this? Are you struggling with this? Are you struggling with this? Click the link in my bio or DM me on Instagram for free. Or, you know, like provide value first and then monetize. Like that 3-minute video that I was just talking about, I actually did a huge plug at the end of the video about my free guide. But it was that 3 minute video was basically an outline of my free guide. Like my free guide is like a 6-7 step little template that you fill out. And of that 3 minute video, I was just like kind of going in depth of these steps. And then at the end of it, I was like, look, everything that I mentioned in this video is in my link in bio on my free TikTok growth guide. Like it's literally for free. All you have to do is put in your email. Boom, you get it. Fall for more creator tips. You're welcome. That was literally it. And so then they're like, holy shit, that video was super good. Let me just go get this. And so it's just like subconsciously, like they want to go do it and get it.
So, I mean, that's your freebie right there. But what are all the ways you're monetizing on TikTok right now? Because I feel like a lot of people, especially beginner creators, they think brand deals, maybe merch. And then that's kind of the end of the line for them for how they think to monetize. But I know you're doing it in more ways than that. I don't believe you're doing a lot of brand deals. I don't think you have merch. Like, how are you monetizing on TikTok?
Yeah. So those are two things that I'm starting, that are like my focus for 2022 now that I have a pretty big, strong audience. But that was one mistake that I really made too when creating content was trying to focus on these two. Like I started a brand, a print on demand store and did a, tried to do a couple brand deals, but the brand deals can come off as, you know, salesy, scammy, one-off transactions. And so I didn't really jive with that. And one of my mentors told me to stop doing that. And then the merch is just super hard to manage, to do, and very hard to convert on because people are just like your information. Like I said earlier, they could give two shits about you. So right now what I'm doing is consultations, really helping people start, grow, optimize, and monetize on TikTok. One-on-one calls. You know, I got packages, and then I also have a full TikTok growth guide. I have a 50 hook template sheet, and then I have like some Notion templates that people can get that I use for my business. Working on this like TikTok, this like TikTok Academy right now. Doing a couple brand deals here and there, but yeah, I don't really put that on a pedestal because and it's very hard for brands to kind of work with me because I have very strict requirements for brands. And I recommend creators to have these as well because it's, you know, working with brands is super important for your reputation and for you, your value. So a couple things that I do are like working with brands that I really love that provide me value and that I know that will provide my audience value. And then working with brands long-term, you know, because it's more beneficial for me, my audience, and the brand. Like take a TV commercial for an example. A company is not running a TV commercial once. It's running it multiple times. So when I work with brands, I'm working with them on a 3-6 year, you know, time period, creating multiple TikToks because a lot of people, you know, if I create one TikTok for a brand and it doesn't perform well, I can't really utilize that testimonial for upcoming brands. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I've done brand deals in the past, but they haven't gone too well. It's like, well, okay, you know, then that rate that you gave us, we got to knock that down. But that's like another thing is like knowing your value in terms of your rate. Like I see so many people have all this huge audience, yet they charge so less, or they let these brands like kind of just jot them down and bring them down in terms of their rate. It's like, know your value. And if you're giving them a rate and they're saying yes right away, it means you didn't charge enough. Just for like starters, like if you have over 100,000 followers and they're somewhat good, strong followers, like you shouldn't be charging less than $1,000 per post. And I recommend, this is like another thing in terms of like working with brands that I would love to do, and then I always make a requirement, is having either a CPM or an affiliate link in place. Because with TikTok, you don't know if that video is going to go viral or not. And if it does, you want to get compensated for it. And so, you know, if it does go viral and they, you know, use that link, you get some commission. Or if it does, you get commission per views, meaning that's what kind of like a CPM is. So like every 1,000 views, you get $10, or every 1,000 views after 5,000 views, you get $10, $20, whatever it is. But yeah, those are a couple of things that I really keep in mind.
What are some of those other criteria that you have with a brand? Is it just mainly like I have to use it, I have to love this brand, they're open to doing CPM? Like are there any other additional criteria you have?
Yeah, those are really the big ones. I would say long-term is really a big one too. And knowing that it will provide my audience value. So it is an ad, but it also is value for that viewer. You know, if I were to create I don't know, an ad advertisement on hot sauce for a Coach Stone. It just would be awful. It would be awful. And then people would be like, dude, you literally just made a video about hot sauce. Like, you didn't, you know, provide me any value. It's ruining your reputation. So that's like the number one thing that I really look at. I usually recommend people to gain the company, the campaign budget before you give the rate. So that way you have an idea of where that company is in terms of the rate. And so that way you don't give them a rate and they're like, yep, we're good. And then having a media kit is super important too. For those, you know, creators that are listening that maybe don't have one. Those are really the big principles that I look into.
What's the balance between brands coming inbound and you going out and pitching brands?
I really don't pitch myself to as many brands as I probably should be. But that's also because I don't really utilize many brands. I mean, I'm a pretty frugal guy. I don't really spend my money. It's usually just investing it. A lot of brands are reaching out to me. A lot of, you know, kind of one-off brands, some trashy brands, you know, some startups, you know, that are just looking for some hype. And with those, you really have to be careful and you really have to do your due diligence and research into that brand and then in that mission, and maybe even other partnerships that they've had. And like I said, especially if you want to do this long-term with this brand, like really having that trust factor with them and being like, I really love what you guys are doing here and I want to be a part of it. And that's always the best too. Like with Stan, when they were starting up, like I reached out to them because I just love them so much. And then now it's starting to perform really well. And now you have this really badass relationship moving forward and they're performing well, you're performing well. And it's just, it's a lot better. But yeah, I mean, I think I need to be reaching out to a little bit more brands. Yeah.
I know over time here, so I'm going to jump to my last two questions. First one being, how often do you look back? I know the journey hasn't been like crazy long for you yet. You're still very much in the beginning phases, but like how often do you look back? Because even that kid that was playing hockey, who like kind of wanted to create, but didn't think that was ever a possibility, to where you are now in the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, I do a couple times and I'm like, you know, if a couple things didn't happen, I probably wouldn't be here. Or, you know, I always think about those situations. I mean, very briefly, obviously, I don't really put too much focus on it, but, yeah, it is insane to think like I was just a normal teenager, like a lot of people, and it's funny, like we went to this like creator conference thing in New York and, one of my creator friends, like boyfriends was like, you guys are all like normal. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we are. And so it could be a little conceiving in terms of the followers and like content, like, cause, you know, our content is different from how we interact with people. But it's crazy to think that I was just a normal kid. And I really try to utilize that as much as I can in terms of my content to relate to that person that was in that. And just, that's another thing in terms of like tips too, that I really recommend is, you know, having that imaginary person that you're speaking to into your videos, you know, that one-on-one conversation. Like when I was making that video of here's some simple shit I believe every teenager needs to hear and do, that'll change your life. Trust me. I was thinking of a 16-year-old teenager that was in his gaming chair playing video games, scrolling through TikTok during a loading screen. And I need to not only relate to him, but also capture his attention and give him obviously value. And that's something that I tend to do a lot and it always performs well. I mean, with a lot of my videos on Stone Fredrickson that are a little bit more polarizing, serious, are having that person in mind and being like, you know, really capturing them. But again, it's different for everyone. If I have a video objective of like how to invest for beginners, that person, I'm thinking of a 17-year-old that's like really interested in investing, motivated, inspired. Like you got to really understand that imaginary person, who they are, what they need, what they want, what they're doing and what they're feeling while they're watching your video. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they depressed? Are they motivated? Are they determined? Whatever it is, and talk to that person.
Yeah, we could go for another hour. But for my last question, I like to flip the script a little bit. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. Pretend you have a crystal ball. You can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
How does the algorithm work?
Fair enough. You're quick with that.
Well, because no one knows that. I mean, we all have concepts and kind of theories and ideas on how it works, but we don't know that. And especially, you know, with Elon offering to buy Twitter and making that algorithm open sourced, made me 10 times more interested on having these algorithms open to everyone to understand how they not only collect our data, but utilize that to place our videos in front of that particular person instead of that particular person instead of that particular person. That's very fascinating to me. I would anything else, like in terms of like the future, like, I mean, I could really care less. I mean, because the future changes all the time and whatever, interests change. But yeah, how the algorithm works for sure.
Fair enough, man. I get that 100%. But I want to thank you for taking time to come to the podcast. I want to give you the floor now. I know we've talked about it a little bit throughout here, but where can the people find you? I know you got the new podcast. Plug anything and everything you got right now.
100%. Thank you so much for having me on too. But yeah, you can check me out on TikTok at Stone Fredrickson, at Coach Stone. I also have a YouTube video, YouTube channel, Stone Fredrickson, but also a podcast, Sticks and Stones, that you can listen on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Add me on LinkedIn, add me on Instagram, Stone Fredrickson. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, you can just get everything. If you want to work with me, just click the links in my bios. Yeah. That's it.
Awesome, man. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it. It'll all be down there. But I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor, go and follow Stone. Like I said, I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.